Maccie's McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
But first, it is time for us to talk about how to be an adult, because it is not always straightforward. And frankly, these days, it's more complicated than ever. And the reality is, because of the situation with our housing situation in Ireland, loads of us are stuck in situations where we're having to live with people who we don't particularly want to live with, and often long after we want to live with anyone at all.
It's more of a situation, really, isn't it?
The only person I could think who could speak to this with accuracy and experience is Sophie White, a podcaster and author who has lived with how many people?
I was counting outside and I even couldn't believe that I came in at around 23
people. Does that include your family?
No.
That's strangers.
That's just stranger danger, housemate central. I just have, okay, and I think it's a bad sign actually, because it means that I'm like a serial housemate hopper. Really, you know?
Well,
so
you've also
I'm not
lived,
monogamous.
You've lived in different countries. Like Sophie has lived in a van. She's lived in a ski resort. She's lived in a coach house. She's lived
copious house shares. I've also lived in a lot of these kind of rambling houses where like you'd pack 9 people in over a basement, you know?
Right.
So it's been trying. And I also now am starting just today to have a horrible realization of like, am I the problem?
Okay.
You know?
Well, maybe that is the best person to advise.
Exactly. I'm here to do the don'ts, basically, I think, rather than the do's. But yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely kind of like, it's like a rite of passage, really. I don't know anyone who's actually dodged living with strangers. Mm. And it's a profoundly weird experience. Like, genuinely, there's nobody weirder than people.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? And I think the funny thing as well is that you can be like, oh, we're all mates, let's live together. And then that situation can go dark real fast.
Yeah, I lived with one of my best friends for a while, and it didn't work. And we moved out after, I think we had a year lease and we all moved out at the end. And a couple of weeks later, she ended up moving into another place with the girl who we had lived with. So the two of them went off. No,
that's called a breakaway faction.
Yes.
Side WhatsApp group.
I was not in any way offended, but I was out with my friend socially a few weeks afterwards and she was like, oh, I miss you. I miss living with you. And I was like, no, you don't. And she was like, I don't. And
it's
like, it's okay. We're great friends. We're not great housemates.
That's it. And I think if you're friends and housemates, like the pressure is to be having a kind of, like almost kind of Gilmore Girls-esque experience in your house. And to be honest, like living in a house is, it's actually like a bit of work. Do you know the way? Like you have to do the bills. Somebody's the leaseholder. It just takes the friendship and adds this admin element that is like never a recipe for fun.
Not to mention
and always a recipe for pass-ag central. And the cleaning. Yes, you're so right about the cleaning. Like I definitely have been in scenarios where the cleaning has been on a kind of a fairly firm rota. Mm. And I think that's kind of the easiest thing, because as much as it seems really like anal retentive to kind of do a spreadsheet, it then becomes this kind of external entity that you can blame for being a downer and a buzzkill. So it's not you being like, can you do your cleaning this week that you're supposed to be doing? You all are like, oh, these spreadsheets like on us. And like the spreadsheet becomes a common enemy. It doesn't matter who authored the spreadsheet, you know? So that can kind of take the, you know, the sort of personal out of that cleaning, kind of war of attrition that can often take place.
What do you think? I mean, let's start at the very beginning. So you're looking for somewhere to live. You're going out into that wilderness. What should you be looking for?
Yeah, you should, I think, be looking for someone who appears together. Now, that can like be very deceiving. Mm. I mean, I suppose I've probably been in the scenario in the past where I haven't been kind of like critical enough of potential housemates, and I've been a bit basic and just been a bit like, do you have money? And you know, that has panned out in various ways. There's a memorable housemate don't which I remember from one of my house shares, which was I had a new housemate to bring in, and I had a house share of like about 9 people, and I'd been charged with finding the new housemate, and it was like, get 9 people together to interview, quote unquote, interview a new housemate, impossible. So I think I was just really, really fed up with looking for someone, and this guy Dave showed up, and I was like, look, Dave's grand, there he is. You know, he's got a face, he seems to have ID. I said, do you have a job, Dave? He's like, yep, I'm a chef. And I was like, deadly, like I was too at the time. So I was like, there we go, common interest and like whatevs. And chefs, I think, actually are quite clean around kitchens.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So Dave was scheduled to move in, say, on the kind of Thursday, and there'd been no sign of him, except for during the afternoon, quite ominously, a black bin liner of clothes had been shoved through a window of the house, but no sign of Dave. And I was like, huh. Okay, maybe he's on a split shift, you know, and he's trying to move on this day or whatever. Then I cut to later that night, and all the housemates were in the living room watching TV, and we heard this kind of commotion on the front lawn. All ran outside to find Dave being propped up between 2 people. Like, his toes were literally trailing on the ground as they brought him up the lawn. And they were like, Dave says he lives here. And everyone in the house just turned and glared at me. And I was like, yeah, sure, Dave lives here. Okay, yeah, come on in, come on in. And we, like, literally as one, like 11 people maneuvered back inside this tiny house. And I was like, oh, Dave's bedroom's through there, kind of being like, deposit him in there. And then suddenly Dave started fumbling with his pants. And we realized this was an indicator that Dave needed to urinate. And we were like, oh God, no, quick, change direction.
Dave doesn't even know where the toilet is.
Dave doesn't know where his penis is at this point. And we got him down the hallway, thank God, into the bathroom. We made it to the bathroom. Crucially, we did not make it to the toilet. And Dave urinated all over the toothbrushes of a brand new housemate.
Sophie.
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, and did he stay?
Terrible.
Did Dave
first
stay?
First impression. Dave stayed, proved to be one of the best housemates I've ever lived with.
Okay.
I absolutely loved him. And he was on a gold mine for funny stories. He kind of, like, I was about to say, pulled his socks up, pulled his pants up as well. Thank God. And the next morning, even through, I presume, a crushing hangover, had gotten out up and early, got everyone new toothbrushes, set the table, did a big breakfast for everyone. Oh, and I was like, Dave's a keeper.
Dave, I love
it's
him.
It's grand.
Okay, well, that's not a great first impression. But no. What can you do to be a sound housemate?
I think the biggest one is not eat other people's food. And I think this betrays my obsession with my food. And I want everyone to stay the hell away from my food. That's me now. Like, I just feel like there's nothing worse than, you know, having a plan, you know, for maybe a little bit of chicken that you had in the fridge, maybe a bit of basil pesto, and then coming home to find that, like, this hideous person that you barely tolerate as it is has eaten it. So genuinely, I feel like absolute number one offence is eating food.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's universal. There's an entire episode of Friends dedicated to a sandwich.
A sandwich, exactly.
Eats of Ross's.
Now, you could put a note on your food, a la Ross from Friends, a vicious note, you know, employ some out there curse words maybe. I think, though, with the food thing, you don't either want to stray into the territory of being the person who marks their milk.
Okay.
Do you know this person who has a kind of, you know, the opaque kind of milk container where they put like an actual marker on the level of the milk?
Well, I know that the Liveline team mark their milk quite militantly in the radio
in the
canteen
shared
fridge.
Office kitchen.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I can tell you that much.
Liveline, we never knew you.
They've been publicly
Talk
called
to
out
Joe,
on this before.
But do not take his milk.
The Deer and Garhi has taken them to task on this before on Twitter. So I'm not breaking any big news here, but yes, I am familiar with that kind of possessiveness.
The key with the food is you want to be, you know, you want to protect your food, but you don't want to become so militant that people think you're a psychopath, rightly. I also think, like, cleaning up after yourself. Oh my God. Like, the number of housemates I've lived with who believe that steeping is as good as the cleanup done.
Oh.
I mean,
I hate, there is honestly a few things I hate more than having to put my hand in a basin of cold, dirty water to pull out the plug. And the dishes are all like have that coating of
Murk. Ugh, just undefined murkiness.
I would much rather leave the dishes beside the sink. I would prefer that.
Yeah, yeah. But like even if the people kind of fill the dish and then leave it beside the sink, no. I want to take that dish and throw it in their face. Yeah. Like, you know, I want, it's like coming across somebody's, I don't know, it's like
used knickers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Yeah.
Now, though, I have lived with a few non-steepers, and these are people who don't believe in steeping at all. And I mean, it's, I don't know how their lives are panning out. Mm. Like, we all know Weetabix. It's a great substitute for cement.
Yes.
It's left unsteeped. But yeah, no, it's, and the thing is as well, though, on a practical level, like you really do have to say this stuff out because leaving these things to fester, really dangerous.
Yeah. So have you're saying like have your guidelines or your guidelines is a nicer word than rules.
Guidelines. Yeah.
Establish them from the get go and then follow them. Right.
Totally. And I think just like I said, have that anonymous spreadsheet or that anonymous list of kitchen guidelines, and just kind of be like, I don't even know who came up with the guidelines, but like, guess we better do them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of handy.
Yeah.
Because I've had bad experiences where if you let the passive aggression fester inside you, like it can become quite malignant.
Well, I want to talk about party time versus quiet time.
Oh, yes.
And also, we've got some stories and indeed questions coming in from people.
Oh, brilliant.
So 51552 is the number to text if you would like our advice on a housemate situation or indeed just to share a housemate tale that you have experienced. 51552 is the number. And we've got more music as well coming up after this.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
That is Haim and Don't Wanna on 2FM. I am with Sophie White, extremely experienced housemate, whose housemates are now her husband and three children, which I'm sure presents its own challenges.
None of them know how to steep a bowl. It's driving me insane.
But I said we were going to talk about party time versus quiet time because I know that this can be a real area of conflict. So what's your recommendation in those terms?
I suppose like be sound is kind of a vague guide, isn't it? But I would have always thought party time, you know, you just have to kind of follow the sort of, you know, our kind of our global tradition of party time and just stick to Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. Mm. I mean, I've added Thursday in because that was always a traditional party night in my youth. But I think you just have to like toe the line on this one. Now, I do think we are living in an age of the wonderful invention, noise cancelling headphones. But I can see that some people really can't settle in a house with a party raging downstairs.
Yeah.
So unless it's a kind of a communal decision of the house to throw the party, in which case, like, you know, there are no rules. Where we're going, we don't need roads. I think you have to kind of wrap it up and probably like head out. We don't do that anymore, of course.
Yeah.
We don't even do parties anymore.
Either. But we will again. That's
we will
why
again.
This is important.
Exactly.
I think that the party thing is actually something you should kind of establish at the interview phase because you need to be in the same mindset because some people don't ever want a party in their house.
True,
you know what I mean?
True.
And then some people are like, ah, yeah, at the weekend, if you want to bring a few mates back, no big deal. I'm going to do that too.
Yeah, like, are we going to be a back to mine house?
Exactly.
Or are we going to be those people who just kind of quietly wait for someone else?
Yeah. You don't want to unwittingly move into a session gaff and then find this is not in tune with your life as a, I don't know, doctor or whatever.
I mean, if you're
not
in
the... doctors don't session, but...
Nobody sessions like a doctor. The access they have there.
Sophie. We're joking.
To knowledge, guys, about how to session safely is, of course, what I meant. Now, if you're in the interview and the floors of the gaff are sticky now, I would say that's a red flag for a session gaff and you should proceed, you know, as you see fit.
It's just, I just don't think it's worth your while moving in somewhere. If you really want to be someone who's going to bring pals back every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you want to be living with people who are cool with that. Otherwise, you're just going to have problem after problem and then you'll end up moving out.
Totally.
Okay, we've got so many texts in. This one says, I'm happily married for 8 years, but I still think my best relationship was my flatmate, Sinead. We had 5 years of bliss. We worked so well together, never a harsh word. She couldn't cook for toffee, but she always bought the expensive Special K cereal, which was our fancy dinner some nights. She now lives in Melbourne. Hooray for Sinead.
Oh, go Sinead.
I never.
Everyone needs a Sinead.
I never had a Sinead.
My Sinead was Adam.
Oh.
Yeah, he was my BF in college.
Where is
he? We did
now?
A lot of living together. He lives in Hamburg now.
Rude.
So I can tell you that he ate my last egg in 2007.
Not that she's keeping count. Edward says, I lived with 16 people in one apartment in New York on my J1 and lived with 14 people in one house in Melbourne for about 6 months. Oh my God.
The 16 in an apartment. A wowza.
I mean, that would never be clean. Flatmates who put a new toilet roll balanced on top of an empty roll. Getting the sea. Oh, that's
unforgivable.
Surreal. That one really gets people, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I actually have that one written down in front of me.
Does it bother you, Sophie?
It's a big prob. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just because you're so close to the action.
Yeah.
You're really so close. It's just shy of the action, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it drives me insane.
I can't say I've never done it. I mean, I'm very lazy.
Toilet roll politics now can just be like serious business, you know? I think you need to lay out the house rules on toilet soundness in a big way, because there's also, I mean, things can get way worse in that department, as we all know. There's many a person who doesn't understand the function of a toilet brush, for example.
Well, yes.
And that is horrific.
But yes, I agree. I just, you know, it can be complicated sometimes. This person says, don't sleep with your flatmates. Just don't. Did you ever do that?
No.
Wow. After 20, however many?
20, however
not one.
Many. Not a one. I had like my boyfriend. And, you know, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. This one says, I adore my flatmate, but his girlfriend. Oh, this is complicated now. Mm. His girlfriend does my head in. She has a fry up every day and the apartment stinks for the rest of the day. I have to work from home and I wake up annoyed at her midday fry. That's very tricky.
Yeah.
When you like the housemate, but you don't like the partner.
Yeah. Or the attendant smells of that partner.
What do you do, though? I mean, you can't really do anything, can you?
I think if they start doing concrete things like using up all the hot water, or like, you know, they start having kind of like, you know, an environmental impact on the house.
Yeah.
That's when you actually can bring it up, I think, because you've got something pretty solid there to just kind of offer constructive feedback on. But I mean, you can't banish and just establish that everyone is allowed a conjugal visit like every
week.
Well,
I have heard of people doing that. Like, ooh. I actually remember interviewing for a room in an apartment, very nice, but extremely anally retentive is probably excessive, but very nice man who was just very strict about the house. I was never going to work. But he was like, if you have a partner, they can stay over twice a week. That was one of the rules.
Wow.
And I think that's fairly common.
Hmm. There's a person who does not mind what others think of him, and maybe more power to him.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I think if you're clear, like at least then I knew, okay, this isn't going to work.
That's
you know?
It. I think what we keep coming back to is clear lines of communication at all times.
Well, our last two texts are, I once lived with a housemate who used each tea bag two or three times before going in the bin. Oh my God. Literally hung them around the draining board.
Were they
board.
A war baby? Like what age was this person?
Literally hung them around the draining board to dry out before using again. Vom. And then this person says, I'm listening to you guys while I'm out for a cycle, but I had to pull over and tell you guys that I've lived with roughly 50 housemates by now. I'm 30. Oh man.
Oh wow.
Happily living with one friend now in a clean adult home, but boy do I have stories I can only imagine. Good luck to you, my friends. I have full solidarity. I have lived in many, many situations, some better than others. So has Sophie. Hopefully you will eventually get to the point where you're only living with people you want to live with. It is truly...
It's out there on the horizon.
It can happen. It can happen. Sophie White, thank you so much for being here and for bringing us your infinite wisdom. Now, though, it's time for us to get some more music. This is True Tides and Break the Silence on 2FM.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.